T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This is a Dave Sinclair Lincoln and Ford Sports Open Line.
You can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious. That ball was on the line.
On America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Welcome back, my friends. Hour number two of the KMOX Dave Sinclair Lincoln and Ford Sports Open Line on a beautiful Friday night here in the middle of America. You want to join us? We got time for open phone lines. Here's the number, 314-436-7900. Or 1-800-925-1120. My name is Greg Damon, and I know enough about sports just to get me in trouble. And that's what I'm looking to do tonight. 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. Coming up this hour, we're going to talk a little racing. That's right. Over at Gateway Motorsports Park, we've got some big races coming up with the Verizon IndyCar race, the Bomarito Automotive Group 500, along with the AAA Midwest Nationals in September, the NHRA event. Both events fantastic. You know me, I am a huge race fan. And then we're going to have a lot of fun at Gateway Motorsports Park because they are becoming a fantastic facility, and they are putting on some great events. In fact, let's go right to the phones. Let's talk to John Bishey. He is the PR guy over at Gateway Motorsports Park. John, how are you, my friend?
Thanks for having us on tonight.
Absolutely, John. Hey, guess what, man? The Camping World Truck Series, they score another win right there at Gateway Motorsports Park.
Yes, it was another exciting race. Not to blow our own horn, but with Justin Haley winning his very first truck race at our track, it was just another one in a series. You know, we had Bubba Wallace a couple years ago won his first truck race at Gateway, and now he's in the Monster Energy Cup Series driving for Richard Petty. So there's just something about Gateway. There is something about the track. It's a mile and a quarter. It's not a super speedway like Daytona. It's not one of the so-called cookie-cutter tracks that's the mile and a half. And turns three and four are very much different from turns one and two. And you can only set the car or truck up for one set of those turns. So if you're really good at one and two, you've got to really fight in three and four, or vice versa. So it takes a special kind of driver to win at Gateway because the car or truck is not going to be perfect all the way around the track.
Absolutely. It is definitely a driver's track and has to showcase their talent. As you said, all four corners are different. And I really like the way you talked about how you can only set up the vehicle for one of those corners to be the fastest that you can. I think the Camping World Truck Series, they always put on a fantastic show, especially at Gateway Motorsports Park. But I really like the truck race. There's a lot of beating and banging and pushing and shoving in that.
Well, yes, there is. It's your young talent trying to make names for themselves, and they're very aggressive. They know that they're on national television. There's a lot of team owners watching them, so they have to make a name for themselves so that they can get a higher place in the sport.
Now, John, I want to, for a lot of folks out there, they don't realize, but, you know, there are teams that come and test at Gateway a lot of times.
Yes, there is. You know, Gateway, we're not like some of the other tracks. We're very busy. We don't just have three or four big events during the year and then we just sit around and play cards for the rest of the year. Gateway has sometimes three, four, or five events going on in one weekend. We'll have drag racing going on at the drag strip. We'll have stuff going on at the road course. We'll have a big race going on at the go-kart track. A sports car event or like an SCCA event or tire testing going on at one of our, you know, flat facilities. You know, we have a dirtplex that we're developing. So we have a lot going on the weekends. And we also have a lot of things going on during the week. You know, the local TV show Speed is the New Black does a lot of reveals at Gateway Motorsports Park when they finished a car and they want to do the big finish at the end of the show. It's like, well, here's what we finished for you. And, you know, they pull the cover off of it and surprise the guy. They do it at Gateway Motorsports Park, too. So we have a lot of things going on, and it's not just cars. We have bicycle races. We have foot races. We have the Go St. Louis 5K. This year, we have the World Championship Chili Cook-Off Finals. So if you like chili, September 28th to 30th, come back. We have drifting this year. We have the Formula Drift coming in for their races. Well, it's a competition on August 10th through 11th. So it's not just cars, not just racing. It's a lot of things happening at Gateway.
Yeah, John, you know, but we also have some fantastic bracket racing that goes on every week.
Yes, it is. We have a good local hotbed of bracket racers. And again, you know, you've got to remember, this track, and I'm not blowing our own horn because I've only been here for 2.5 years, but this track is a miracle. You know, this track was dead. It was shut down, and it was 2 weeks away from all of the grandstands being disassembled and sold for scrap metal. And Curtis Francois, the owner, said, we can't let this happen. We can't let motorsports in the St. Louis area die. I raced at this track. I won races at this track. And he stepped in and said, we've got to see how we can save it. So he started out with NHRA. The drag strip was in pretty good condition. He had to put some money into it and went to NHRA and said, if I just lease the drag strip, can we bring the national event back here? And NHRA said, yes, St. Louis, important market. And it was a success. And then he set about to purchasing the entire facility and all the land that it's on. And went from there. And it's not like Bruton Smith, where he owns 8 tracks and it's a publicly traded company. And there's a giant wallet, like an ATM, where you just take money out whenever you want. Or ISC, you know, where they own a lot of tracks. There's lots and lots of money. When we need something, everything comes out of Curtis's wallet. And when it came time to repave the track last year, because we were very nervous because the track, well, let's face it, the track was old and bumpy. It was 20-year-old pavement. They paved it with the wrong kind of blacktop in the beginning anyway, and it was 20 years old and bumpy. You know, it sits out in the heat, and then it freezes during the winter, back and forth, back and forth. The water table goes up and down, and IndyCar came for the test, and they said, well, we can race on this, but it's not going to be very good. And Curtis said, well, we can't have an inaugural IndyCar race and have it be bad. We just can't do that because then the fans will hate us and they'll never come back. So we can't do that. So it was like, well, can we do this in time? Can we tear up the old pavement? Can we repave the track? And can it cure in time for the IndyCar race in August? And he gambled on it, spent $2 million out of his own pocket, and it worked. And the IndyCars put on a heck of a show.
Yeah, I think the IndyCars at Gateway is one of the best races around. I liked them when they were here 20 years ago. I like it now. It's fast, and Gateway did a fantastic job by repaving that track for them.
Well, yes, they did. We had a good quality paving company come in and do it. I learned all about blacktop years ago when I worked at Las Vegas Motor Speedway. I was one of the original people when they built it. And there's two kinds of blacktop. There's asphalt for streets and there's asphalt for racetracks. And what they told me was asphalt for streets, think of it as pizza dough. Cars driving back and forth on it all day long. It's kind of like kneads it. It keeps it pliable. Where a racetrack, it sits out in the sun or it sits out in the cold all day. And for the most part, you don't have cars driving on it. So it has to be a different mix. It has to have different polymers in it. And when they built Gateway, they used street asphalt. So it wasn't the right stuff. And then, of course, you know, opening weekend, they had the problems with it marbling up and cars crashing a lot. I was there for that with a race team, and we went home with a broken race car, as a lot of teams did.
Right.
So it was time. It was time. The track was 20 years old. It was bumpy. We knew it was going to be a bad show for the fans. We couldn't have a bad show for the fans because we knew they'd be angry. They wouldn't come back. the teams would be angry at us, and you can't have a, basically another grand opening with a fiasco. So, you know, Curtis Gamble made the right decision, and everybody was happy. It was a good show. It was a huge crowd, good television audience, good numbers. And now we just have to make it bigger than last year.
Well, coming up in is going to be the Bomarito Automotive Group 500 Verizon IndyCar on August 25th. Again, this is looking to be one of the best races of the Verizon IndyCar series.
Well, yes, it is. And it starts for all intents and purposes on Thursday. We're going to have a free fan fest at Ballpark Village downtown on Thursday from 5 to 7. And the fans will be able to come in for free, meet all their favorite drivers, get autographs, take pictures with them. And then on Friday at the track, there's going to be qualifying for the IndyCars, practice for the IndyCars. We've also brought in the NASCAR K&N Pro Series, which is a NASCAR late model series. And we're bringing in a combo event. It's the NASCAR K&N Pro Series East and the NASCAR K&N Pro Series West. And this would be what the old Winston West series evolved into. So you've got some really good teams, and you've got some really old teams going all the way back to Bill McAnally from the the 70s and 80s coming in. So you've got not only open wheel cars, you've got NASCAR stock cars as an added bonus, plus Indy Lights, plus Pro Mazda. And then of course on Saturday, you've got the IndyCar race.
Yeah, it's going to be a fantastic event. John, I've got to take a little break here. Can you stay with us for a few more minutes?
Absolutely. I'd be glad to.
Fantastic. On the phone, we are visiting with John Bishi. He is the public relations manager over at Gateway Motorsports Park, our hometown racetrack. Stick around. More of KMOX Sports Open Line coming up after these.
This is the Dave Sinclair Lincoln and Ford Sports Open Line.
It's got to be one of the dumbest calls offensively in Super Bowl history.
America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Welcome back, my friends. Heading into the, the middle segment of the KMOX, Dave Sinclair, Lincoln, and Ford Sports Open Line here on a Friday night. We're going all the way till 10 o'clock. We're going to have some time for open phone lines as well. You want to join us, 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. We are visiting with John Bishi. He is the PR manager over at Gateway Motorsports Park, and he's been kind enough to hang out with us here on a Friday night. John, I do appreciate you hanging out with us here.
Hey, we're always happy to come on KMOX. It's a great station. In fact, I feel like I have a regular gig on KMOX. I was on Ryan Recker's All Night Show a few days ago talking about the ghost in my house. I'm an old hand on KMOX.
Perfect. That's what you can come anytime. You can come anytime on the show, John.
Okay.
So anyway, let's talk about it. We talked a little about the Verizon IndyCar series. By the way, I'm just gonna throw it out there right now. I'm going with Graham Rahal for the win.
Graham Rahal. That's an interesting choice. Why do you pick Graham Rahal?
Well, number one, he's been on our show many times. He's a good guy. He's married to Courtney Force. And only that, I really think he is a good racer, and I think this track suits him very well. He's a very accomplished road racer, and I think this track will suit him well, to where a lot of other folks who are better oval drivers, when they try to tackle gateways all different corners, I think this is where it's going to put him in the catbird seat.
I think so. I think he needs a breakout here. Joseph Newgarden won the race here last year, went on to win the championship. I think if he gets the right brakes and the right pit stops, you could be right.
Yeah, I think he's a phenomenal racer. You know, that's one of the things that many folks don't realize about the Verizon IndyCar series is, you know, they always said that, hey, there's just too many foreigners in that. I don't know enough names. I don't know anything like that. But there's a lot of great young American drivers in that series.
Not only young American drivers, just mention two names. Andretti, Foyt, okay? They both own teams. They've both been in the sport since forever. AJ doesn't drive anymore. Mario doesn't drive anymore. But those are names that even if you've never watched an auto race, you've probably heard of those names. And there are some good American drivers in there. They all pretty much live in America, even if they weren't born here. You know, Charlie Kimball was, for all intents and purposes, an American, but his father was working in England, and his mom was pregnant, and she just happened to give birth there. So technically he was born in England, but he's an American racer. So you've got a lot of good talent, but you've got to remember, it's an international sport now.
Right.
And you have non-American drivers in NASCAR, and nobody ever thought that that would happen. There was the occasional odd Canadian, like Earl Ross or somebody like that. Nobody ever thought that you would have, you know, drivers from Mexico in NASCAR. So, you know, motorsports, it's international now.
Right. Actually, Juan Pablo Montoya, I think, broke that whole thing open. So when he came from IndyCar to NASCAR to F1 and every back in between. So, let's talk a little about the NHRA event, the AAA Midwest Nationals. And that's coming up September 21 through the 23rd over at Gateway Motorsports Park. Yep. One of my favorite events ever. And folks, if you never have been to a drag race, I certainly suggest you go over and check it out at Gateway Motorsports Park. Every ticket's a pit pass. You get to go up and talk to the crew, the drivers when they're out there. You get to hear the cars fire up. And John, when those funny cars and those top fuel cars go off the line, it is some ground pounding, just heart wrenching thunder that goes down the track.
The only way I can describe it is it feels like it's inside your chest trying to get out.
Exactly.
It's each car is 10,000 horsepower, and that's only because that's as far as they can measure it. It could be 11, it could be 12,000 horsepower. They haven't figured out how to measure it past 10,000.
It's a lot.
They're running on they're running on nitromethane. They're going 330 miles an hour in 1,000 feet. The acceleration is tremendous. Sometimes things explode. It's all part of the excitement. And I'll give you a little example. When I was a kid, I was a motorhead. My parents took me to my first auto race when I was 6 months old, which probably explains why I'm deaf now. And they always went to the jalopy races because they like to see crashing. They're products of the 50s, okay? And one day I was looking at Hot Rod Magazine, and I said, can we go to the drags? And my parents said, no, what do you want to go to the drag races for? It's just only two cars, and what do you want to see cars race in a straight line for? Well, fast forward to when I moved to Las Vegas, and I was working at the Speedway, and we had a national event coming up. And I said, look, they had retired and moved to Vegas, and I said, you guys are going to go. You're just going to check it out once. I'll give you tickets. Stay for 5 minutes. If you don't like it, go home, but you got to check it out. So the first pair of pro stocks went down the track, and my mom said, did they really go 200 miles an hour? And I said, yes, wait till the funny cars came out. So the first pair of funny cars came out. They went over 300 miles an hour. They were hooked. And then every time the NHRA came to town, my parents would call me up. Hey, can you get us free tickets? It's like, Oh, can I get you free tickets to the sport that you hated because it was only two cars going down the track at a time? And what do I want to watch cars racing in a straight line for? Yeah, sure, I'll get you free tickets. And it's access. That's the thing. If he's not busy, you can walk right up to John Force and watch him work on his car. And he'll come to the rope, and he'll sign autographs for you, and he'll talk with you. And they're all like that. They're all gracious because they know the score. They know the fans drive the sport. And they know the fans pay the freight. Okay? No fans, no racing. So they're more than happy to talk to the people that support them. And the drivers are very easy to work with. A lot of times we'll have fans that have special needs or have had special requests. You know, they're ill. We bring them in wheelchairs and, you know, hey, you know, she wants to meet John Force. Great. You know, come on in, come in the trailer, look at the stuff. I'll sign a piston for you. They're super to work with. Antoine Brown, all of the Schumacher drivers, Steve Torrance, everybody to a person.
I agree. They're all fantastic people to deal with.
Yes, they are.
And probably the most fan-friendly of any sort of motorsport out there.
Yes, it is. And it's still reasonably priced, and it's a fun day at the track because there's other things to do. There's other things to see. There's a big midway. It's the food, the noise, the color, the souvenir rigs, everything. And just not to slam any other sport, but let's say if you go to a NASCAR race, you've got to sit for maybe three and a half hours to see who wins. Okay. And you might not like the winner. With drag racing, there's two cars. And if you don't like these two, wait 3 minutes because there's two more coming. Okay.
And I like that.
There's more classes. And now, especially with Pro Mod and some of the tracks that NHRA goes to, adding Nitro Harley, that's insane.
That is insane.
You know, I've worked some of those events where they have Nitro Harley, and when they start losing control of those bikes, and the only thing between the bike and the concrete wall is the guy's knee, you've got to be a little crazy to pilot those bikes.
I think you got to be crazy just to ride the motorcycles on the strip to begin with, not necessarily Nitro Harley.
Well, because you're not really protected by anything. When you're in a car, you've got a roll cage, you've got sheet metal around you, you've got things that bend up before the energy gets to you. When you're on a motorcycle, you're pretty much naked to the world. All you have is your leathers and your helmet. And then all of a sudden, when you add nitromethane to the mix, and like I said, when that bike starts drifting over to the wall, and your kneecap is the only thing that's going to stop you from banging into the wall, it's why some of them limp when they come up to the starting line.
That's funny. Hey, John, I want to thank you so much for joining us here on the KMOX Sports Open line tonight. Tell folks how they can get tickets to both the Verizon IndyCar Series and also the NHRA Series over at Gateway.
You can buy tickets and get all the information that you need. Just go to our website, www.gatewaymsp.com. You can go to our Facebook page. We're also on Twitter, but the easiest way to get everything is www.gatewaymsp.com.
Any package deals or anything?
Yes, there's package deals depending on how much you want to spend on tickets. We've got a new feature this year called Rumble Before the Roar, which basically is a pre-race party to keep fans occupied. There's special things going on. You know, fans get to a race early because they want to avoid traffic jams and things like that. You need to occupy them and entertain them. So we have the Rumble Before the Roar party, and now we also have the Vintage Indy Registry has a display, a pavilion. They're going to bring 20 vintage Indy cars from 1930 to the 1980s, where the fans can look at them, touch them, and see how the sport progressed from 1930, when they used to have two men in each car, all the way up to the 80s. And then they can go in the garage area and look at today's race cars.
I think it's a great event. I think folks should just check out the website. If they've never been to a race, both the Verizon IndyCar Series, the Bomarito Automotive Group 500, and also the AAA Midwest Nationals over at Gateway Motorsports Park, right in our own backyard. Go over and check some of this stuff out because we have some great racing right here in our own backyard. John, thank you so much for joining us here on KMOX.
Thank you for having us anytime.
That's John Bishey. He is the promotions director, or public relations director, over at Gateway Motorsports Park. This is Greg Damon. You're listening to KMOX Sports Open Line, the Dave Sinclair Lincoln and Ford Sports Open Line. We're going to take a quick break. Coming up next, we're going to talk about youth football and the decline in football in general. Stick around.
We couldn't do diddly poo offensively. We couldn't make a first down. We couldn't run the ball.
Now, back to the Dave Sinclair Lincoln and Ford Sports Open Line.
We couldn't complete a pass. We suck.
On America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Welcome back, my friends, into the final laps here on the KMOX Sports Open Line, the Dave Sinclair Lincoln and Ford Sports Open Line on a Friday night. We're hanging out. Hope you're having a good time. You want to join us? Here's the phone numbers, 314-436-7900, 1-800-925-1120. Those are the phone numbers if you want to get on. We have some time for open phone lines a little bit later. But now I want to talk about youth football, something that's near and dear to my heart. We've seen a decline in youth football. All this stuff about concussions and all sorts of stuff has made it really about a 20% decline in youth football today. Joining us next on the program, a good friend of mine, his name is Ron Rhino James. He was a big Mizzou fullback, 276 pounds. at Mizzou. He was a fullback for Brock Oliva, went on to the NFL, and he's been kind enough to join us on KMOX. How you doing, Ron?
Hey, thanks for having me, Greg.
Absolutely. So let's talk a little about Ron James, the big stud at Mizzou, 276-pound fullback, and you were crashing through the line, no doubt about that.
Yeah, that was fun days. That was back in the days when people liked to pound it right between the tackles. Now everybody wants to spread it out and throw it out, but when you have athletes like Drew Locke heading the offense, I guess you got to go with something like that, huh?
Yeah, first he's already been picked first team SEC this year. So how about
yeah,
that?
Yeah, he was an incredible athlete. He's fun to watch. It's been fun to watch his progression over the years, and hopefully this will be his best year yet. Hopefully he'll bring a lot of people to get in the seats there at the University of Missouri this year.
Well, you know, Ron, since your playing days at University of Missouri, as I said, you were the fullback for Brock Oliva. Oh, by the way, also had his own spot on the coach's show with his block of the week, by the way. What was your favorite block, by the way?
Mine, I don't know. I really liked anything in between the tackles where I was lining up and teeing off on the linebacker. But heading out back, running sweeps were always fun, too, whenever you get out there and knock the little guys around. That was always fun as well.
I understand. Well, Ron, you're a football coach in Chesterfield. Now Lou Fuse Athletics is that youth football coach. You've been coaching for several years. My son plays on the team. I want to talk a little about really retaining players and also the decline of youth football. What do you think?
You know, football has been such an instrumental part of my whole life, even after my playing days were over. I grew up in a rural community up in northeast Missouri. And everybody played football. I remember having, we were a 2A high school, South Shelby High School up in northeast Missouri, and we'd have 80 to 90 kids go out for the football team. Everybody went out for the football team. And it's a shame that the bad publicity with the scare of CTE, that's been going around for about 12 years, and the concussion scare. But this equipment's getting better. Helmets are getting better. But especially here in the Midwest, it seems like soccer's kind of taking over. But as you know, we went down last year and played down in Texas. Texas is live and well with football. It's in their blood down there, and that's probably why all the universities go down there and recruit down south. But, it's still live and well in Texas. But, you know, there's no denying, especially here in St. Louis and across the nation, there's a decline in youth sports overall regarding football.
Right. About right now, they're saying about 20% decline in youth football. And this has went all the way up into even high school, to where some high school programs have either limited their football or have even canceled their football all the way. I know St. Dominic football out here in O'Fallon several years ago only had 7 kids come out and try it. Then the next year they had about 40. So, I guess it's kind of up and down with football all around. And I think really one of the biggest things is the concussion scare.
Yeah, you know, and it is a concern. It is. There's no way around that. I mean, there's studies that have been cited, but a lot of those studies geared toward football, and nobody realizes or really does studies on the concussion rates in soccer. I know there's a lot of issues with that, and they try to get the head and keep people from heading the ball anymore. But In my view of the world, if you're going to go out and compete against competition, I mean, you're going to take a risk of getting hurt. Take, for instance, last year at the beginning of the season was a really hard year for us to get started, where we're coming off a defending Super Bowl championship here in the city. And right out the gate, our best offensive lineman, you could almost make a case for, he got hurt riding his bike and broke his arm. And it just went right on down the line. But, you know, kids, they're going to climb trees and they're going to get hurt. And football is a great sport. It's a great character builder. Like I said, it's contributed to almost every success in my life. It helped me to go through college. I never thought I would have ever graduated and gone to a major university, and helped me do that and, pursue a short career there in the NFL after college. I was never a superstar, but I got drafted and I went to Arizona and bounced around for a few years and got to chase a dream, but it opened doors to greater opportunities. And I've lived here in the St. Louis area, and my family has grown, and it's provided a wonderful life. And it's great for me to get to contribute back into this game of football through the youth organization. It's really personally created a whole fire reignition in my life for the game since our kids got involved in it. And it's going to be neat, a special year for us this year, being a part of Lou Few's organization. And I would say arguably the best youth organization in the whole Midwest, if not the country, in regards to football facility access, based out of Rams Park. I mean, it's not a lot of places in the country that could say NFL players sat there in those seats just a few years ago regarding youth football, you know.
Absolutely. You know, you've heard the mothers, and I'm just going to say the moms. I mean, some dads are concerned as well. But, you know, how many times have we listened to some of the moms talk about, you know, fearing for their child playing football in regards to getting hurt?
Yeah, well, you know, that's a mother's job, is to look out for the kids. And, you know, they most of the time, you know, mothers will fear, you know, any sports they get in. You know, you don't want to get hit. My nephew got smoked in the face with a fastball. His last game of his senior year, he had to have reconstructive surgery on his face. I mean, kind of going back to the point I made earlier, if you're playing competitive sports, there's a risk of getting hurt. I personally, I'm an old school gladiator. I was never put on this earth to be a rocket scientist. And I know you're probably shocked at that, but I love the sport of football. It's one of the last places where kids can kind of grow up and kind of become men, you know, with the overall wussification of our kids and boys across America. It's, you know, it's just been a wonderful opportunity to watch young kids grow and mold themselves into strong young men.
Well, Ron, let's be realistic. Look at all the stuff that that football teaches you, and I'll even branch out to say other sports as well. But, you know, where do kids, you know, it's not like the old days when you were a kid or I was a kid and I was out in the neighborhood and nobody knew where you were. You came home before dark to eat dinner. But, you know, you look at sports today, and they teach team building. They teach friendships. They teach sticking up for each other, problem solving. And
mental toughness, teamwork. I mean, the list goes on and on.
Absolutely. You know,
accountability is another one that I think is huge.
Oh.
You know, it teaches you to be both mentally and physically tough, you know, to go out there and lay it on the line. And I can tell you right now, I can go back to my junior high days of playing football and think of kids and anybody. And I can tell you who I looked across at in the huddle. I could tell you if those are guys I'd want to go to war with in anything. I mean, you can build a real sense of trust with some of the guys you go to battle with in sports growing up.
No, you're absolutely right. I wanted to read this here. This is from the CDC. This is concussion rates per sport. And obviously, you know, everybody thinks, hey, football, that is the one that causes the most concussions. That's the one that's the worst of all. People don't realize about the other sports. Absolutely, football is number one. But right behind it, how about this? Boys ice hockey is right behind that versus concussions. You think about guys getting checked, their head goes into the to the glass or the boards on top of that, or they get hit and they
what
go
about
backwards.
Lacrosse or field hockey? Well, field hockey and lacrosse on those.
Right,
that list as well.
So after that, girls soccer, number three on the list, girls soccer. And that is going to be from all the, you know, all the head balls, all the headers they take. Boys lacrosse, girls lacrosse, boys soccer, boys wrestling. And then, of course, you get into basketball, field hockey, cheerleading on top of that, and also gymnastics.
So, I wonder, though, Greg, what the breakdown is, if you broke it down, because obviously there's more. Most football teams, there's usually at least 20 players, sometimes more, because you need 11 on the field. But there's a lot more people that play football, so naturally it's going to coincide with having more injuries or concussions in that regard too. But I wonder what the breakdown would be if it was based on the number of people that actually play.
Oh, that's true. I wouldn't know that. Hey, Ron, I got to do a little bit of business. Can you hang with me a few more minutes?
Absolutely. Thanks.
On the phone, we are talking with Ron Rhino James. He's a youth football coach with the Lou Fuse Athletic Organization. Stick around. More of KMOX Sports Open Line to come.
Playoffs? Don't talk about playoffs.
The Dave Sinclair, Lincoln and Ford Sports Open Line continues.
You kidding me? Playoffs? I just hope we can win a game.
On KMOX.
Welcome back, my friends, into the final laps. The white flag is waving. That's right. It is the final laps here on the Dave Sinclair Lincoln and Ford Sports Open Line show on a Friday night, beautiful Friday night here in St. Louis. Joining us here on the program, our good friend Ron Rhino Janes. He's a youth football coach right here with Lou Fuse Athletic. And Ron, thanks so much for joining us here on a Friday night.
That's truly my pleasure.
So, you know, what I wanted to really talk about, we talked about the decline of youth football. Obviously, one of the big issues is concussions. You see it in national media. My thing is, I want to say, whoa, 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 back it up, Terry. Hang on a second, because I think football is under attack. We talked a little bit about concussions in other sports. I think what we need to do is really start focusing on the positives of football. Now, Ron, as you well know, USA Football National Organization has really come in and really, first of all, got all the coaches on the same page as far as safety for the sport.
Yeah, you know, we're all required at Lou Fuse Athletic to be qualified through Heads Up certification, and it does help, and it does educate us, and they come up with new things every year. The game's played differently as when you and I grew up on head placement, things like that. And it is, you know, it's nice to have an organization like that support you, keep everybody up as a whole, up to speed with the new things and ways to train to promote safety.
Yes, absolutely. Not only that, do we talk about USA Football with their Heads Up program. I think that's, you know, teaching kids the right way on how to block, how to tackle, how to do everything with your head up and not, as you said, as we used to when we were kids, you know, trying to get it on the side and use it as a fulcrum, trying to pull kids down. Completely different today.
Yeah, it is. You know, just exactly what you said. You know, we were taught as young men to get our heads across, and now the head goes on the backside and get your head out at the tackle to prevent head injuries and neck injuries. And, you know, I just hope that anybody listening to this that even considered letting their son play football, please give us a shot. Take a look at us on Lou Fuse Athletic. What happened is Lou Fuse, they have a soccer program, a youth soccer program, and also a lacrosse program. And now we have three sports out there. The newest is football, but we're going to be based out of that Rams Park organization where football, you know, with the Rams being out there, it is just an amazing facility to get to utilize for youth sports. And hopefully everybody that comes in and plays us will be jealous of the wonderful facilities that we have access to. And that program can grow and kind of take off.
Yes, and I do agree with that as well. We talked a little about USA Football. One of the things that you kind of touched on, Ron, is the advancement in equipment, not only in helmets, but in shoulder pads as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the helmets are remarkable anymore, and they're much more comfortable. Shoulder pads, it's just amazing to see the evolution in these things progress, just like anything nowadays with cars, computers, phones, et cetera. The same thing with shoulder pads and helmets and football equipment. You know, whenever I played a long, long time ago, it had the biggest, baddest pads in the world with a big neck roll. Now everything's about everything is so efficient and absorb so much shock, and they're designed the way they are. They're just lighter and more comfortable, and it's just amazing.
And form-fitting. You know, back when you were a youth, I was a youth, I mean, they had a bunch of football helmets in a box, and they said, go try one on, find one that fits, that's your helmet. You know.
Yeah, that's I got a really funny story with that. It may take a while, but I
got
did,
about 3 minutes.
I played in a semi-pro league one time, and that's basically what they did. They dumped some helmets out of a box, and I found one that would only spin about halfway around my head, like that movie Lucas. And you know, I played in a lot of different scenarios, but these kids, they've got it pretty good these days.
Yes, absolutely. I was talking about the advancements, especially in helmets. That was obviously the big issue, and I think every parent is really concerned about that when your son plays football. And
well, it's our most prized possession, right?
Right.
And you can't blame that for looking out for your kid. I mean, but rest assured, you know, they're in good hands. This use equipment is amazing anymore. I just would love to see the desire for parents to want to let their kids play football, because I know the desire in the kids a lot of times is there to let them play.
Absolutely. As we talked about, all the stuff that it so helps with. And not only that, it keeps them off the couch playing video games or, you know, helps make them social when they're playing on their phone or quoting on their phones.
It builds character. And these days, that's something we're lacking in this society. But it helps build character. Instead of sitting around playing Fortnite all night long, maybe they'd be getting some rest because they're worn out and from a football practice. And kind of like what you alluded to earlier, the focus is all on the negative aspects of football. And if we could turn that around and just talk about all the positive aspects of football, I think they would definitely outweigh them as far as all the little things that contribute to lifelong lessons that continue on, well into their 60s, 70s.
Absolutely. Ron, I want to thank you so much for spending some of your Friday with us here on the Dave Sinclair Lincoln and Ford Sports Open Line. I've certainly had a great time talking to you as well. Come back and join us again, will you please?
Yeah, my pleasure. And to anybody out there that's got any kids interested in youth football, please give us a shot. Take a look at us at Lou Fuse Athletic, and let's go play and win some games this fall.
That sounds great. Thanks, Ron. I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you. Bye.
That's our good friend Ron James, and that's going to about wrap it up here for this edition of the Dave Sinclair Ford and Lincoln Sports Open Line on a Friday night. I hope you had a great time. My name's Greg Damon, and we'll be back real soon. Stick around, my friends. We got news coming up after these messages.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.